It's been a while since we gave this year. We're up to Shmuel Beis Perek Dalet, but we're going to recap. We'll spend some time reminding us of where we are up to. Today's year is sponsored as a Zechus for Parnosa for Gil Ben Chana Tova Gittel. We had learned before at the end of Shmuel Aleph, Shaul had been killed, and Avner made Ishbosheth, who is Shaul's son, the king. It's a question whether this was right after the war or whether there was a few years in between, because David was king for 7 years, 7.5 years over just Yehuda, and sometime during those 7 years, Avner was a king for 2 years over Yisrael. So it could be it took 5 years till Avner was the king. But eventually, it's until Ishbosheth was the king. Eventually, Avner, who used to be Shaul's general, now took Shaul's son, Ishbosheth, and made him the king. After that, Avner and his men had met Yoav. Yoav was the general of David. And they met by a pool of water. Avner with his men. He was Ishbosheth's general now. Ishbosheth was the king over Yisrael. And Yoav ben Tsruya was the general for David. And Avner suggested, let the lads get up and they'll skirmish, they'll have war games. We'll see what happens. Let them fight it out. Let's see which side is stronger. And one thing led to another. And eventually it turned out to a full-scale conflict. Many people were killed. And Avner's men were defeated. Avner was running away, and Yoav and his two brothers were in hot pursuit. Yoav ben Tsruya again was David's general. He had two brothers, Avishai and Asael, and they were chasing after Avner. Asael was very quick. He was light-footed, and he ran like a deer, and he was chasing after Avner, and Avner turned and told him, give up the chase. Stop it. Enough damage has been done. Let's stop it. But Asael refused to turn one way or the other. So Avner struck him, turned around, and struck him in the fifth rib. And Asael was killed. Behind the fifth rib is where the vital organs are, and therefore he was killed. Yoav ben Tsruya felt that his brother was killed. It was simply an act of murder. Because there's a rule by a rodef, if one person is chasing another, we do whatever is necessary to save the life of the nirduf, of the one who's being chased. But we're only allowed to kill the rodef if there's no other way to save the nirduf, the one who's being chased. Avner was such a powerful and such a skillful warrior, Yoav was convinced that he could have hit Asael, any other place on the body, he could have stopped Asael. If he's just worried Asael is chasing after him, Avner could have wounded Asael and ended the whole incident. The fact that he turned around and with pinpoint accuracy, he was able to hone in on that fifth rib, on that sensitive part of the body, he was convinced that it was a willful act of murder and Avner was not doing it just to save himself. Of course, Avner said that there was no other way. He was running, it was in the panic and in the confusion and feeling that urgency that his life at any moment, Asael can kill Avner. So Avner turned around and killed Asael. We'll see, Yoav held it against Asael, and Yoav took action. Yoav held it against Avner. Yoav held it against Avner that Avner had killed his brother. Ishbosheth, who was the king, and he was the king made king by Avner. Ishbosheth accused Avner of taking Ritzbah bas Ayah. That is that Shaul, his father, King Shaul, had a pilegesh, had a concubine. It wasn't a queen, it wasn't a regular wife, but it was a woman designated that it was sort of his wife, but on a lower stature. It was a pilegesh. But if she was the king's pilegish, nobody else is allowed to take her. And Ishbosheth accused Avner of doing that. Madua bosel pilegish ovi. This is already in Paragimel. Avner was furious. Here he had gone and made Ishbosheth the king. Everything Ishbosheth had from him, and he was loyal. And Avner was a tremendous tzaddik, and to accuse Avner of doing such a terrible thing. He said, Harosh Kelev Anochi. I'm like the head of the dogs. No, how do you treat me like this to accuse me of such a thing? And Ishbosheth went to David, and Avner went to David and told David that he will work to bring all of Yisrael under David's control. In other words, he's leaving Ishbosheth and he's going to turn over as a traitor or whatever. He's going to go to David and everybody will accept David as king. The pasuk says, "Birtzos Hashem darkei ish." If Hashem wants the ways of a person, if Hashem desires your course in life, if you found favor with Hashem, gam oivov yashlim ito. Even a person's enemies will make peace with him. If you think about it, throughout Avner was the one who was leading the opposition to David. When David had gone and cut off the corner of Shaul's garment. When Shaul was in the cave and David was in the hidden recesses of the cave, and he had cut off the corner of the garment, and then he later said to Shaul, "You see how much I care for you. I could have easily David could have killed Shaul," and he showed him the corner of the garment that he saved Shaul's life. Avner was the one who said no. Maybe David just found a corner of your garment that got torn by a thorn. Don't believe that David is a good person and David will make peace with you. And Avner was the one who afterwards, when David had succeeded in stealing the spear and the canteen of water, the jug of water that belonged to Shaul. Again, Avner was the one who rationalized. He said, maybe you left the jug of water, was left by a well, and David found it. David, don't give in. David is the one who's against your malchus, and as long as he's around, there's a threat. Avner was the one who was constantly agitating against David. And he's the one who took Shaul's son, Ishbosheth, and he made him the king. So Avner was the one who was the strongest opposition to David. There were others, but in this sense, Avner was the one who led the opposition. Obviously, David had other appointments, other opponents, like Doeg and Gedoeg. But now Avner himself, the one who had made Ishbosheth the king, Avner himself said he was going to bring all the men over to David's side. So David said, before anything happens, could be he himself was in doubt. Does Avner really mean this or is this a trick? But before you do anything, David said to him, that lo sires ponai, I don't want you, Avner, to come to me. Don't see my face. Before you bring Michal bas Shaul, Shaul's daughter, Michal, had been married to David. Shaul felt that the marriage wasn't valid and Shaul gave her to somebody else. But David said, before we reunite, before Avner brings Klal Yisrael to join David, first Michal should be brought back. And Ishbosheth agreed. He sent a message to Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth was the king. And Ishbosheth agreed to send Michal back to David. It's not clear. In other words, does that mean that Ishbosheth would have made peace with David? Perhaps he realized that now that Avner left, he would have to make peace with David. He was willing to send Michal back to David. He would have perhaps been like a subservient king. He would have had a secondary position. But he did agree to send back Michal. So Avner came to David, and it looked like everything would be set up that he would be, Klal Yisrael would now join David, and David would be a ruler over all of Klal Yisrael. In the meantime, Avner had been at war, and he had conquered a number of, he had a lot of booty and a lot of spoils, came back from the Gedud, from skirmishes, was still summarizing in Paragimel, and when he heard that Avner was there, Avner was the enemy general. And he was there in Hebron, and David let him leave. He couldn't believe it. And he spoke to David in a forceful way. Male Sisa, what did you do? Abner was here and you let him go? Yoav decided he would settle things in his own way. And he sent a message after Avner, and he called Avner to come back. Avner assumed probably David wanted him to return. After all, Yoav was David's general, and it could be Yoav told him in the name of David, but Yoav ben Tsruya, who was David's general, sent a message to Avner, who had been supporting Ish-bosheth, that was Shaul's son, that was the Melech of Yisrael, to return. Avner came back to Hebron. Yoav brought him El Toch HaShar, to the middle of the gate. And we had different explanations what that means, but one explanation was he brought him to the Sanhedrin. And he told the Sanhedrin, we're dealing here with somebody like Avner, who's a skilled fighter. And he was one of the greatest, not just the generals, but physically, and he personally was a fighter. And he went ahead when Asael was chasing him, and he turned around, and he killed Asael. He could have saved his own life in a different way. The Sanhedrin didn't help him. Sanhedrin said, Avner wasn't warned. You have to have Edom, there has to be Hasra, there's a certain protocol. The courts don't kill everyone just because he's guilty of murder. Yoav went, and Yoav killed Avner. He was convinced that Avner was... It could be the Sanhedrin even agreed that Avner was guilty. But if he wasn't warned, the Sanhedrin does nothing. Yoav was the Goel Hadam. He was the brother of the killed Asael. So he went ahead and he killed Avner. Yoav killed Avner. When David heard, David realized it wasn't just, we'll see in a moment, Avner was one of the Gedolei Yisrael. As a person, he was one of the greatest people. But in terms of a national tragedy, had Avner succeeded, the Malchus would have been united, and David would have been the king over all of Klal Yisrael very easily, without any bloodshed, without any skirmishes. It would have been a peaceful transfer of power. And here, Yoav went ahead against David's intention, against what David wanted, and Yoav went ahead and he killed Avner. So David showed his anguish. First, he gave a tremendous curse to Yoav, that in the household of Yoav, there would always be a Zov, that's a sickness, and a Mitzorah is leprosy, and there'd be people carrying a cane, and that would fall by the sword, and that wouldn't have what to eat. He gave a tremendous curse on Yoav. And then they ripped their clothing, and they wore sackcloth, and the king went after the coffin. And it's a machlokes in the Gemara whether a king is even allowed to. But the normal procedure was a king didn't go to funerals. And here he departed from the norm to show his tremendous the loss at the death of Avner. He went after the mitzvah, he went after the coffin, and they buried Avner, and the king mourned, and he said a special kino lamentation. How could it be somebody as great as Avner is killed in cold blood when he's unsuspecting? The people came to bring him a Sudas Havra, that first meal that a mourner eats. As they realized, David was treating it like a relative. He was going to eat a Sudas Havra. But even that wasn't enough for David. And David said, he swore by Yishav David Lamar that he should get the biggest punishment, that he's not going to eat anything that day. It should have been very, very abundantly clear that David was upset of the fact that Avner was killed, and David would like there to be peace, and he doesn't hold any grudge against Avner, even though he was the enemy general, and he was the one agitating Shaul against David. But David didn't want any of this. And all of Vayedu Kolam, V'chol Yisrael, everyone knew that it was not David's decision that Avner should be killed, and Yoav was acting on his own. However, David said, Anochi hayom rach moshuach melech. I've just recently become king. And the people I'm dealing with, the B'nai Tsruya, the children of Tsruya, are very hard, they're very harsh, they're very difficult people. Tsruya was David's sister. And again, there were three sons. There was Yoav ben Tsruya, the general, who killed Avner. There was his brother Avishai, who was also involved in this incident. And there was the third brother, Asoel, who was killed. But all the three brothers, sons, the three sons of Tsruya, were all tough people. It could be David felt he didn't have the power to punish them. It could be he felt if he would punish them, he wouldn't have people to lead his own army. And at this point, he felt he needed their support. And he said, Yishalem Hashem la'osei ha'ra'a kira'aso. Hashem should punish those who do evil, like their evil. Bezdin down here can't handle it. I'm not able to punish them. In a case like this, a person can give it over to Shamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that the B'nai Tsruya, that Yoav, gets his punishment. This is where we're up to. Shmuel Beis, Perek Dalet. Vayishma ben Shol, the son of Shol heard, Kimeis Avner b'Chevron, that Avner had died in Chevron. It doesn't even say his name. Ben Shol, the son of Shol. It could be because he was very much like his father. His father had tried to avoid becoming king. When they were looking for the king, he was the guy who was Nechbel HaKalim. He was hiding behind the vessel. They had to go and find him to be king. He wasn't looking to be the king. And Ishbosheth, part of it could have been because he was sick, he wasn't strong to be the king. But it could be also he didn't feel the need to push himself to be king until Avner took him and made him the king. He was like his father Shol. Also, his father Shol was killed. And now the son got the same fate. Vayishma ben Shol, the son of Shol. Could be also his whole right to be the melech was because his father was Shol. On his own, he never would have become king. But the son of Shol. So that was his position. He's the son of Shol. He's also the king. And he heard Kimeis Avner b'Chevron, that Avner had died in Chevron. Vayirpu yodov, and his hands became weak. He despaired. It could be he felt that Avner would have gone over to David and made peace. And Ishbosheth still could have found a place in the new arrangement. He wouldn't be the king overall of Israel. Obviously, Avner was going to support David, but Ishbosheth felt things could have been worked out. And now there's nobody to back him up. Avner had gone to David, and Avner was killed. So if anything, Ishbosheth's whole monarchy was in jeopardy. It could be Vayir Puyodov, he despaired, because the tzaddik that he was, he felt a bit responsible. He had accused Avner of taking Ritzpah Bas Aya, the Pilegesh of Shol, of his father Shol. Whether it was right or wrong, we don't know. But he accused Avner of doing something, and because of that, Avner left and went to David and was killed. If Ishbosheth would never have leveled this accusation, Avner would still be alive. And the derech of the tzaddik is always to be concerned that maybe it's his fault, even if it's indirect. But from Shemayim, Ishbosheth felt that they're going to have a complaint against him. He's done something wrong. Vayir Puyodov, and he felt a sense of despair. V'chol Yisrael Nivholu, and all of Klal Yisrael was confused. Why was everyone confused? First of all, the term Nivholu, and the Toichacha, in Bechukosai, when it talks about the punishments that come to Klal Yisrael, one of the first things mentioned is V'ifkadeti Aleichem Beholu. You'll be remembered with confusion. Or that Kaddish Baruch Hu will remember to give Klal Yisrael that punishment. They'll be visited on them. The whole of confusion. Because if somebody doesn't have a clear purpose and he doesn't know what's happening and how what he's supposed to do and how should he react, there's a sense of hopelessness. But it's mentioned in the Teichacha to realize how great of a punishment this is. V'chol Yisrael Nivholu. All of Klal Yisrael didn't know what to do now. Did David agree to kill Avner? If that's true, that David wanted Avner killed, even though we learned before that they were positive a moment before that David was upset that Avner was killed. But now, it could be the people under Ishbosheth, the rest of Yisrael, who weren't together with David, perhaps were not aware of everything that had happened. And they didn't know. Maybe David was behind it. David had instructed Yoav to kill Avner. And if he didn't, why didn't he punish Yoav? And we learned that David said, Yoav, the B'nai Tzruya were too difficult. They were kushim him and he couldn't deal with them. But is that the reason? Or is it that David really was happy that Avner was killed? So of course he didn't do anything to Yoav. In fact, we'll see later on, the rest of Yisrael did not join David until we'll see Ishbosheth was killed. And those that killed Ishbosheth were punished by David. When Klal Yisrael saw that David really wanted Ishbosheth, then they finally felt secure enough to accept David as king. But we could look at it, perhaps Avner was willing to go to David and he wanted to make peace, and David refused. And he had Yoav kill Avner. And if that's the case, anybody who was with Ishbosheth, anybody who was on the enemy camp, was in danger from David. If even Avner, who had that white flag of surrender, was killed, where would that leave them? So v'chol Yisrael nivholu, everyone was confused. Ushnei anoshim, there were two men, Sarei Gedudim, they were officers of troops, Hayu ben Shol. Pashup shot, Hayu ben Shol is like Hayu liven Shol, as Rashi brings down. These two officers were for the son of Shol. They were his officers. Shem ho'echad Bano, b'shem ha'sheni Rechov. One of them was Bano, the name of the other one was Rechov. B'nei Rimon ha-be'erosi, they were the children of Rimon ha-be'erosi, who came from Be'eros. Mi'b'nei Binyamin, and they were from the Shevet Binyamin. Kigam Be'eros techoshev al Binyamin, because Be'eros was also considered to be part of Binyamin. Perhaps Be'eros was on the border. Perhaps the border jutted out and enclosed Be'eros, but Be'eros was a city. It wasn't clear which Shevet it was from, but you should know it was from Binyamin. And there might have been other people from Shvatim there. It was not so clear which Shevet it was part of, but it was part of Binyamin, and these generals, these officers, were seeing very clearly were Mibnei Binyamin. We're stressing this because what they did shows a lack of gratitude. These were officers for Ishbosheth. They were officers in his army. They should have had that respect for their own leader not to do what they did. And it also shows why Ishbosheth was not on guard. There were two people, the officers in his army, and they were from his Shevet. Now, you can have officers of other Shvatim in the army, but these were the people he really didn't expect to turn against him. This pasuk follows what we just learned, B'chol Yisrael Nivholu. When there's a confusion and people don't know what's going to be, is David out to punish everyone who's with Ishbosheth? People act irrationally, they don't think it out. Once there's a confusion, the following events can happen. Vayivrachu ha-be'erosim gitoima. The be'erosim fled gitoima. Either means to Gas. Gas was a city under the Plishtim. Perhaps Gitoima, there was a city called Gitim. It's mentioned in Nehemiah, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. It could be it was a city that was in Eretz Yehuda called Gitim. In which case, perhaps they ran there. They thought David would protect them. Perhaps they ran to Gas under the Plishtim, and they figured they would go undercover. Hopefully they'll be ignored and they'll be safe. But here you have officers in Ishbosheth's army, and they're fleeing to enemy territory, either to the Plishtim or to David, but they're fleeing Gitoima to Gas or to Gitim. Vayihu Sham Gorim, and they were living there ad hayom hazeh, till today, meaning till the events that we're about to learn. There was a time that they were exiled and living in Gas. We'll say they're living in Gas till this incident happened. It doesn't say why they fled. Why are they running anywhere? They had fled earlier. In other words, they were living there until Ad Hayom Hazeh, until this story happened right now. But they had gone to Gas earlier. It doesn't say why. It could be they went, because after Shaul was defeated, in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph, it mentioned all of the Anshe Yisrael who lived in that area, they fled. Shaul and his sons were killed, the army was defeated, Vayazvu es Ha'orim, they abandoned the cities, Vayanusu, and they fled, and the Plishtim came and they moved in and they settled in those cities. It could be it was at that point that the Beirosim fled. They fled with all the other people who abandoned their homes. And they felt so insecure, they were so unhappy with Ishbosheth's leadership, they had no faith in him. And they stayed where they were, in Gass or in Gittim. They stayed away from their home all these, this possibly years, Ad Hayom Hazeh, until this incident that we're about to learn now. Perhaps that's a slight rationale, excuse for what they did, although we'll see it was inexcusable and they're called Rishoyim. What they did was a wicked thing, which we mentioned shows a lack of everything besides the Hakaras HaToiv, which we mentioned there from Binyamin, and they killed their own leader. But what they did was a terrible thing. It was murder, and it was not excused. But perhaps they did it because they came from Be'eros, and they felt they couldn't stay in their homeland with Ishbosheth as the king. He was too weak of a leader, he was incompetent, and they had left home. V'lihonasan ben Shaul, Tihonasan ben Shaul, bein nechei ragloyim. He had a son who was lame. Ben chamesh shanim hoya, he had been 5 years old, b'vo shmua Shaul v'ihonasan mi'Yisrael. When the news came that Shaul and Yehonasan had been killed in Yisrael, this Yehonasan was 5 years old. V'tisa'eyu omanto, so the nurse or that was raising him, that was taking care of him, lifted him up. Batanos, and she started running. The Jewish army was defeated. Shaul and his sons were killed. She picked up the baby. It was a royal, the grandson of the king. She picked up this baby, and it was actually 5 years old, and she ran. I guess she didn't want to rely on this 5-year-old running. She was so desperate, she picked him up and ran. Vayi b'chofsa lonus, in her haste to flee, Vayipol, the boy fell, Vayiposeach, and he became lame, Ushmel Mephibosheth, and his name was Mephibosheth. And as we'll see, the story continues, and there's no mention at all of Mephibosheth, not for the rest of the perek, and not till later, it's not even the next perek, not till later in Shmuel Beis. The question is, what is this pasuk doing here? As you'll see in the next pasuk, it talks Vayelchu b'nei Rimon ha-Beirosi, Rechav u'Bana. These officers we talked about came and they met Ishbosheth. They went to Ishbosheth's house. But the focus is not at all on Mephibosheth. In the middle of the story, we mention Yehonasan ben Shaul ben Afiragroyim. It could be it's mentioned, as Rashi says, Mone v'holech eich nishpas malchus mi be'shol. We're now mentioning how the Malchus ended from Beishol. Shaul had 3 sons with him who were killed in the war. He had another son, Ishbosheth, who we'll see was killed. And before we discuss what happened to Ishbosheth, we put in one pasuk. Yehonasan, who had a son, Mephibosheth, that son was lame, he was handicapped, and he wasn't fit to be the king. So basically, the Malchus Shaul is going to come to a grinding halt, and it's going to be over. But before we discuss Ishbosheth, we just make it clear that there was no one else who would be able to take over the throne. There was no one else to take over the throne. It could also be, the pasuk is telling you, before we get into the sad story about how Ishbosheth was killed, there's the chesed of Hashem, the rachamim, that there was somebody left over from Shaul's house. And this was Mephibosheth. The Gemara says in Brochus, on Daf Dalet, David took pride He was talking about Shomro Nafshi Ki Chosid Ani, Hashem, you should protect me because I'm a Chosid. And the Gemara discusses what David did that was exceptional. And the Gemara continues, V'lo, not only that, Elokoma Shani Ose Ani Nimlach B'Mifivoshes Rebbe. Whatever I do, I consult my Rebbe Mifivoshes. V'aymerloi, and I say to him, Mifivoshes Rebbe, Yofedanti, Mifivoshes, did I judge this case well? Yofechiyavti, did I say the person is guilty, and that was correct? Yofezachisi, did I say that he was innocent, and that was correct? Yofetiharti, Yofetimesi, Vloboshti. Whenever I gave a decision in halacha, I gave a psak, I would always ask my Rebbe Mifivoshes. And there's a discussion in the Mefarshim who exactly this Mifivoshes was. The Gemara says he wasn't Mifivoshes, and there's a question of the Girsa who exactly he was. The Marsha and Rav Yaakov Emden learn he was the son that we're talking about right now. This Mifivoshes in Divrei Hayomim is called Meiriv Baal in Perek Ches Pasuk Lamed Dalet. He's called Meiriv Baal, which could have meant Meiriv, to increase, from the word Rav, to make greater Baal, the ownership and the control of Shaul's monarchy. As perhaps they envisioned that this boy would go ahead and he would build up the Malchus even more than it was. Shaul's son in Divrei Yomim is called Eshbaal, Ish Kamina, an important person. Baal, again, who's in control of something, like a Baal Abayas. The Baal is the one who's in control. Shaul envisioned his son was Eshbaal. He was the person who would be in control, who would be successful. And after Shaul and his sons were killed, the names were switched. Eshbaal was called Ishboshes, which literally means a man of embarrassment. He changed his name to be called Ishboshes to show the embarrassment of Shaul's family, that it had come to such a embarrassing and disappointing end that Shaul and his sons were killed. And this son, who was called Meiriv Baal, was now going to be called Mifivoshes. Also from that word boshes, to be embarrassed. But the Gemara in Brachas explains it to be Mifivoshes, Mipi, from the mouth of this person, boshes, David suffered embarrassment. Because David would give a psak, he would give a decision, and Mephibosheth would tell him when he was wrong, you're wrong. And David on his own, he went looking for it. Whenever he asked, he paskin the halacha, he would go over to Mephibosheth's Rebbe, and he would ask, did I paskin right or wrong? What's interesting is, Mephibosheth, as the Mephorshim learned, was not fit to be king. It could be because, again, the Malchus of Shaul was not on the firm ground that Malchus Beis David would be. The Malchus of Shaul was doomed to end at some point or to be secondary. It wasn't the main Malchus. And if the king was not a capable, energetic, healthy, if he didn't have all of the positive attributes, he would not be able to be king. The Sefer HaChinuch, when he discusses by Kohanim, there's a law that a Kohen can't be a Baal Mum. It can't have a handicap. But it's interesting to notice what the Chinuch says. A person, you know, even if he has a handicap, he can be even greater in the eyes of Hashem. Somebody who has a handicap and he's able to overcome and deal with it and carry on and still serve Hashem, really handicapped person is greater than a person who's healthy and has everything going for him. So why is it that a Kohen who's a Baal Mum can't do the service in the Beis HaMikdash? The Chinuch explains us this. L'fi sherov pu'ulos b'nei Adam. It's in it's in the 275th mitzvah. But l'fi sherov pu'ulos b'nei Adam. Most of a person's actions, ritzuyos elev ro'ehem, find favor by the one who sees it, l'fi chashivus oseyen, based on the importance of the person doing it. When you see somebody doing something, is it important or is it not important? And you look at the person doing it. If a great person took out time to do this action is important. Ki bihiyos ha'odam choshuv b'mareyu. When a person looks distinguished in his appearance, v'tov b'maisov, and he's good in his actions, yimotzei chein v'seichel toiv b'chol asher yaseh b'enei kol ro'ov. So whatever he does, people look at him, this person's a success, and he does this. So in their mind they think, wow, if he does this, I should also try to emulate it. And as he explains, therefore the ones doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, they're the ones who are giving an importance to avodas Hashem. That it's important and it's significant and it's the greatest thing we could do to serve Hashem. We want to have Kohanim doing it who don't have a physical blemish. So when you look at them, you look at them as they are the elite. They are the best. They are the most fortunate of society, and they serve Hashem. And that inspires you to do likewise. It's not a value statement how great a person is. A handicapped person could be greater. He has a lot more to overcome. But in terms of the people emulating him and taking him as a role model, a Baal Mum can't be the Kohen to do the Avodah. Mephibosheth here had this handicap. He was lame. And he couldn't be the king. And if you put the two ideas together, it shows you the greatness of David. This Mephibosheth was 5 years old when Shaul was killed. Meaning David was much older than him. And David was anointed to be the king, and David knew he was going to be the king over all of Klal Yisrael. And as we just saw, the person with a handicap has a more difficult time besides his personal struggles. Other people don't accept him and don't listen to him as much. They don't take him as a role model. The pasuk in Kohelet says, "V'chochmas hamiskein bezuya." The wisdom of the poor person is despised. "Udvarav einam nishmoim," and his words aren't heard. Sometimes a person, even if he is totally fit, but if he's poor, people ignore him. It's the guy who's a millionaire and he has a good suggestion, people perk up. Oh, if he said that and he has and he's successful in financially, must be it's a good idea. But it seems to be the same idea. Somebody who's poor, somebody who's handicapped, people don't learn from him. So David went ahead and he took somebody who was younger than him, who was handicapped. And David went ahead and he asked him on every halacha, did I judge the case well? Was I right? Was I wrong? And Mephibosheth would tell him. Would tell him if he was wrong, he would tell him he was wrong. Mephibosheth, from the mouth of this person, David had the embarrassment. So before we learn what happened with the rest of Shaul's family, and how it came, the Malchus ended, the Navi lets you know, Yehonasan ben Shaul had a son. This was Shaul's grandson, and his name was Mephibosheth. So he did have a son who was a Gadol Batayra, who was great. In fact, those who were healthy and successful were the ones who didn't carry on the monarchy. The monarchy came through, the family continued, the monarchy ended. But Shaul had to continue him through this child, Mephibosheth. It mentions in Divrei HaYomim who his child was and how the family continued. Also, it could be it mentions this pasuk because we'll see Ba'ana and Rechav, those two officers killed Ishbosheth, but they left this child alone. And the reason is, you should know, he was lame. They realized he wouldn't take over the throne, and therefore they ignored him. And they weren't afraid that he would come to power and he would take revenge. Mephibosheth wasn't a threat to them. And therefore, just mentioning it, you should know there was such a child. Vayelchu. But before we get to that, there is another pshat. We'll see in these psukim, it seems very redundant, and there seems to be a lot that's hidden from the eye. But firstly, to mention, we'll see the validity in this approach. The Radak mentions in Pasuk Beis, when it says there were two men who were officers in the army for Ben Shaul, the Radak says Hoyu could mean they were ones who killed a son of Shaul. Not Ishbosheth, but there was another son that Rechav and Bana killed, and then we'll see they came back later and they killed Ishbosheth. Or they assassinated one son of Shaul, and then later on they killed the son of Shaul. This word hoyu can mean to be broken. There's a pasuk, nihiyesi, I was broken, v'nechalesi, and I became sick. The Radak mentions this pshat. Sorry, gedudim hoyu ben Shaul, they killed the son of Shaul, a different son that we don't know of. And it could be that's why they had to run away, v'yivrachu habeirosim gitoima, that's why they fled to Gaz. And they lived there ad hayom hazeh, till this day, when they came back, and we'll see what they did to Ishbosheth. But pasuk hey, vayelchu b'nei Rimon habe'erosi. These sons of Rimon habe'erosi went, Rechav u'Bana, vayavo kechom hayom. They came in the heat of the day, el beis Ishbosheth, to the house of Ishbosheth. It was the heat of the day when v'hu shochev es mishkav ha'tzorayim. He was sleeping, the nap, the noontime nap. In Eretz Yisrael, they still do that. And the hot countries, whatever, they take an afternoon nap. You know, you don't call anybody at 2 or 2.30 in the afternoon. He was sleeping the Mishkav HaTzorayim this afternoon nap. The Heina and they, Bo Atoch HaBayis, they came into the house, Lokchei Chitim, buying wheat. Either they posed as people who were buying wheat. Perhaps the king kept the control on the wheat that was sold, but seems they came into the king's house to buy wheat. Or they came together with wheat merchants, Rashi says. There was a whole entourage came in, some people came to buy wheat, and they slipped in also. Vayaku el achomish. And they hit, the simple word, pashut, would mean they hit Ishbosheth, el achomish by the fifth rib, Rechav u'Bana ochiv nimlatu, Rechav and Bana, his brother, escaped. Vayavo habayis, they came to the house. Vushochev al mitos, when he's lying on his bed. Vachadar mishkovo, in his bedroom. Vayakud, and they hit him. Vayimisu, and they killed him. The whole thing sounds very redundant. You know how many times he told us that he came into the house? The Malbim points out the questions here. It said in Pasuk Hey, Vayavo kechom hayom, they came in the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth. Then you told me in Pasuk Vav, V'heina bo el toch habayis, they came into the house. And then you told me in Pasuk Zayin, V'yavo habayis, they came into the house. Not only that, it says two times, it says in Pasuk Vav, V'yaku el achomish, they hit him by the fifth rib. And then it tells me in Pasuk Zayin, V'yaku, they hit him and they killed him. And he has other questions. But the Malbim learns that what happened was these Rechav and Bana, they had a criminal record. They, not similar to what we mentioned before, the idea that they killed the son of Shaul, but they killed somebody, but he learns like this. Vayochav b'nei Rimon ha-be'erosi. The b'nei Rimon ha-be'erosi went, Rechav and Bana, vayvo kechom ayom al beis Ishbosheth. They came in the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth. He was taking his noontime nap. Rechav and Bana were able to get into the house. They knew exactly when to come. They knew where to go because they had already done a similar murder before. Because on a previous occasion, like parenthetically, you should know they had come on a different occasion into the house with people buying wheat. Vayaku el achaymish, and they struck whoever sold the wheat over there, they struck him by the fifth rib. And it's not clear if Rechav and Bana were the ones who actually did it, or they orchestrated it, and the people buying the wheat did it. But they were there with that group buying wheat, and the person selling the wheat was killed. And they escaped. Could be they thought they ran away because they were guilty, or they were afraid they'd be accused. But they were there, and they were involved in it, and they escaped. Vayavo habayis. Now they came back, and we'll see they killed Ishbosheth. Or it could be they came into the house, lo krechitim, with the people buying the wheat, and Ishbosheth was struck by the fifth rib, and they ran, they escaped, and then they thought, you know, maybe Ishbosheth is still alive. And they had the, I hate to use the word courage, because they were rishoyim, but they went ahead, there were these wicked people, and they went back to the house just to make sure that Ishbosheth was finished. Vayaku, vayimsu, they hit him and they killed him. Whatever the case is, Rechav and Bana went ahead and they killed Ishbosheth. Vayasiru es Rosho, and they removed his head. Vayikhu es Rosho, and they took his head. Vayelchu derechu arova, and they went by the flatland, by the plain. Kol haloyla, they traveled the whole night. They had Ishbosheth's head. It's a gruesome. They took his head, and they went to David, because they thought David would appreciate their present. They came and they took the head of Ishbosheth and they went to David. Obviously, they didn't realize how upset David was when he heard that Abner was killed. Abner, again, was the one who made Ishbosheth the king, and Abner had been behind it. And David had been so upset with what was done to Abner. He had been furious by what Yoav did. And yet, Rechav and Baana felt, maybe they felt he was upset at Abner because Ishbosheth was still alive. Now that Ishbosheth was killed, they'd be happy. But somehow they felt if they'd bring the head to prove that they actually killed him, they could prove that they killed him. They actually have his head. It's not just they're taking credit for something they didn't do. They thought this was a tremendous accomplishment. Perhaps they came and they thought Yoav, they know what Yoav did to Avner, but if they see that they are actually with David, they mamish have Ishbosheth's head. Whatever the case is, they came with a head and they traveled the whole night. Vayoviu es rosh Ishbosheth el David Chevron. They brought the head of Ishbosheth to David in Chevron. Vayomru el hamelech. And they said to the king, Hinei rosh Ishbosheth, behold, the chiddush, something exciting, something new, Hinei. Take a look what we have. The Rosh Ishbosheth ben Sholo Yivcha, the head of Ishbosheth, who's the son of Shol, your enemy. Asher Bikish Es Navshecha, remember, that's the Shol who wanted to kill David. He was after your life. That enemy Shol, this is the head of his son. Vayitein Hashem, and Hashem gave over Ladoni HaMelech to my master, the king, Nekomois, to take Nekoma Hayom Hazeh. Hashem has helped you out, David HaMelech. It was almost like a mitzvah, like they had Siyata Dishmai. He's telling David, Hashem did this. Now this was such a beautiful, you see the nekama. A nekama against the Rosh is a tremendous thing. You see justice in this world, but not against something like Ishbosheth. But in their mindset, Hashem has given David the nekama, Mishol and Mizaro, from Shol and from his children. In Kol Torah, I learned under Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and they used to say over in the yeshiva the following quote from Rav Shlomo Zalman. He said, if you want to say over my Torah in your name, that's okay. I said, I don't mind if you say over some brilliant thing that Rav Shlomo Zalman said and pretend you originated it. That I can handle. But don't say over your Torah in my name. Don't you say over whatever your nonsense, you know, say Rav Shlomo Zalman said that. Don't say over your Torah in my name. It's I almost learning these psukim. It's almost as if David has to deal with that type of thing, or as he has people going ahead and doing what is so abhorrent to David. It's not just that David feels it's wrong. David is he couldn't show greater being upset than what he's done. Well, what's he supposed to do to show that he doesn't want any of this? And they go ahead and in his name they take the head of Ishbosheth and they're convinced they're doing the right thing. It's almost, you try to picture what David HaMelech is going through. You know, sometimes you have these types of things in life, you know, your child or your employee or somebody you entrust with a task, he does something and it doesn't reflect good on you. You know, you ask him to do it and he does it and everyone assumes that's the way you do it. And you feel bad, you know, that doesn't reflect good the way he did. But this is so much beyond that. To do it, to murder, and we'll see in a moment, Ishbosheth is a tzaddik, and to think that David wanted this. And that's what David has to deal with. Vayan David es Rechav es Bana Ochiv. David responded to Rechav and Bana, his brother, B'nei Rimon HaBeirosi, and he mentions the whole Yichus, and they were the children of Rimon HaBeirosi. But David knew exactly who he was dealing with. But that's not going to save them. That's not going to save them from a punishment. Vayomer lahem, and David said to them, Chai Hashem! He swears by Hashem's name. Meaning what he's going to say now is irrevocable. Asher podas nafshi mikol tzara. Hashem is the one who's redeemed me from all difficulties. As if to say, I don't need your help. I don't need you to go ahead and take the nekama of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of me. And we don't need people, vigilantes, doing their own thing to figure that they're going to save society. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one I should put us in Avshimi called Tzara. Ki HaMagid Li Lamor, the one who told me saying. And as far as David is concerned, the Malbim explains, the word Magid is if you tell over something. It could be it's important, it could be it's not important. You're just telling it over. Magid. And it could be you're not even aware of it firsthand. There's something called Mivaser. Mivaser Lonu V'Seru is Toivus. Mivaser is somebody who sees it. He sees Manovu Al-Harim Ragle Mivaser. The Mivaser is the one who sees the Yeshua coming. And he comes to inform you. Mivaser knows of it firsthand. And he's telling you news that's important. Usually it's good news. But ki hamagid li lemo, the one who informed me is a magid. The magid, the one who told me saying, he named me Shol, that Shol, behold, Shol died. For who are yokim mavaser be'enov? And in his own eyes, he thought he was a mavaser. He's telling over great news. Ve'ochazavo, I grabbed him. He probably thought he was going to get hugged or kissed. He has gavaldika news. David's enemy, Shol, was killed. But I grabbed him. Ve'eher geyu b'tziklog, and I killed him in Tziklog. And he did it in Siklag. At that time, David was with the Plishtim. Back when Shaul was killed in war, David was with the Plishtim. He was not there at the battlefront, and he was just brought the news that Shaul was killed. So if anything, he was more insecure. He was in Siklag. And yet I couldn't tolerate somebody should bring the news that Shaul was killed and be happy. How can you be happy that Shaul was killed? Ashel esiti lo b'soyra. Instead of giving him a present for the good news, I killed him. And David had him killed. And we had over there a whole discussion. It's not clear whether what happened was in the end, when Shaul was killed, in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph, it says Shaul told the weapon carrier, draw your sword and stab me, and he was afraid, so he didn't want to. And then it says, Vayikach Shaul es hacherev, and Perek Lamed Aleph, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph. Shaul took the sword, Vayiplalon, and he fell on it. The weapons carrier saw that Shaul died, so he also fell on his sword. So when you read the story, it seems Shaul fell on the sword and killed himself. A Perek later, in Shmuel Beis Perek Aleph, the Nar came to tell David what happened. And he reported that Shaul and Yonasan died, and he had been by Har HaGilboa, and Shaul was leaning on the spear, and as he had fallen on a spear or the sword, and the enemy soldiers had caught Shaul, they caught him in their sights, he was caught in the crossfire, and he turned and he saw me, and he called me, and he said to me, Amod no alayim osaseini. Shaul asked this Nar Amaleki, he asked him to kill Shaul. Shaul asked the boy to kill him. Kicholo nafshi, because he was about to die anyways. Vo'emor alavu amosis seyu. So I stood up against him and I killed him because I knew that Shaul wouldn't live anyways. So it's not clear. I said there were two different accounts. Did Shaul kill himself, or was the Na'ar, this lad, involved in killing him? But here, David seems to assume, and we'll assume that he didn't even kill him. But just bringing the news that Shaul died, and having such a simcha, David HaMelech said, Vo'eher geyu b'tziklag, I had him killed. That was the power of the king, that is such a type of thing, he wanted to show exactly what a loss it was, and he was killed. This person didn't get a present. Av ki anoshim reshoim, and certainly when you're dealing with men who are reshoim, horgu eshi tzaddik, and they killed a man who's a tzaddik beveso in his house, al mishkovo on his bed. Or even if that Nar did kill Shaul, but it was clear Shaul was at the battle, he had fallen on his sword, he was going to die, the enemy soldiers had him in their sights, Shaul asked the Nar to kill him, so whether he did it or he didn't do it, it's not such a terrible crime as killing an Ish Tzadik Paveh, so Ish Boshes is in his house. And they point out, Mephoshim point out, he wasn't the type that went to war. He was a quiet, could be, he was a low-key, he was an unknown. He was the type of person in his house, and he was a tzaddik. And to go in and kill him? V'atza now, halo avakish estomo miyerchem. I'm going to seek his blood from your hands. In other words, I'm holding you responsible for this. Uvi'arti eschem in ha'aretz, I'm going to totally obliterate you. That Rechav and Bana are finished. They're going to be killed. But it's, again, a very strong term of V'arti eschem in ha'aretz. They're going to be totally obliterated. David has to take some type of step. We would have imagined that what he did with Yoav after Avner was killed was enough. He cursed him, he went after the coffin, he said a eulogy, he mourned him, he treated like a mourner, and he fasted the whole day, and he made it so clear to everyone. And yet people still thought that he was after Shaul's family and he'd be happy. Vayitzav David es ha-na'orim vayahargu. David commanded his na'orim, and he killed Rechav and Bana, these two people. Vayikatsu es yideim v'saraglayim. This is a very unusual type of thing. But he had their hands and their feet cut off. The hands that killed Ishbosheth and carried the head, and the feet that went walking to Ishbosheth to kill him and came walking back to bring the news. They hung them by the pool in Hebron. It was a public display. How else is David going to get the message across that anybody who attacks Shaul's family is deserving of death? It's a very drastic move. But there's no other way. Ve'isrosh Ishbosheth lakochu, and the head of Ishbosheth they took, vayikru b'chever Avner b'chevron, and they buried it in the grave of Avner in Hebron. The rule is, the Chevra Kadisha knows this, you don't bury two enemies next to each other. You don't bury enemies. Even though Avner had left Ishbosheth, and Avner was going to give over the throne to David, it could be David realized that Ishbosheth had made peace with the situation. Ishbosheth had agreed to send Michal back to David. Could be Ishbosheth would have accepted a secondary role. But Ishbosheth, it was okay to put the head of Ishbosheth in the grave of Avner. They were both tzaddikim. They're both buried in Hebron. You can see their kever ad hayoim. It's there. And that's the end. That's the end. Now we go further, where Klal Yisrael comes to David, and they want to make him the king over all of Klal Yisrael.